Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
F it. We'll do it live. We're live.
We're live. Okay, good.
You could say
good.
Fuck it. We'll do it live because it's
I can say fuck
it's
it.
The Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
I had a fun thing today, man. I did a 25-minute guest spot on Adam versus the Man. It was I called it Michael Dean versus Adam versus the Man. It was pretty fun.
I really like the title. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it makes it sound like then you're with the man because the
No. And it's not me against Adam either. It's me against Adam versus
the
Man.
It's you against Adam versus the Man.
Although it was really it was very much
is one unit.
It was very much not against them. It was like hanging out with dudes in their and chicks in their house. It was because they have video Skype. I could see them, but they couldn't see me. I forgot and didn't dig my crappy webcam out of the box in the basement. But it was fun.
That makes your audio quality worse, man.
I know.
Sacrifice audio quality.
They have audio quality. I mean, I spent 5% or 10% of the cast trying to improve their audio quality, and they wouldn't listen to me. No one listens to me.
We spent 3 minutes before our cast improving my audio quality.
Oh, to the point where we're going to put it up as I'm going to write an short article for Talkers Magazine called 3 minutes to improve your audio or something like that. Three minute sound conditioning. The 3 minute studio. Something
there
like that.
You go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much will all the blankets cost? I could call it like the $4 studio treatment or something.
They were free because I got them out of my linen closet. They were our unused blankets that haven't been. One of them I've had.
That's reminding me of a thing on The Simpsons where there's the guy who has the book and videotapes on how to like live a millionaire lifestyle for no money. Like, yeah, and it's where I took the term. He says, how to have a caviar life on a cat food budget. I say, you know, caviar sound on a cat food budget.
Yeah.
But he says like, you know, it's him in a tuxedo surrounded by beautiful women on a yacht and saying like, these beautiful women, they used to be men. This yacht, I got it cheap because it smells like cat pee. And your blankets smell like
my
cat
blankets
pee.
Smell like cat pee. Wow.
Yeah.
Small world. And it we is. Can check our Simpsons reference off the list. Okay, so let's move on now.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to do that. Well, we also have to have an amazing rant at some point.
You know?
We'll
see. That's the harder one.
Yeah.
So. Simpsons reference is a bit easier than that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I've been up to is I've been working on the Fiend phone. Well, I've been herding cats, actually. Someone sent me a cartoon of a guy herding cats up on a hill, like a sheep herder, but with cats, and he says,
right.
Huh, I think I'd rather be the head of a large software development project. Which I've been the head of a small software development project. I had like two different people have worked on it for like a year now, and one of them got to the point of like a working demo that didn't work very well. And you know, the guy worked really hard and tried really hard on it, but he was really busy and it wasn't really his thing. And some other guy picked it up. This guy, Derek Sloppy, I think is his name, Sloppy, who is not sloppy at all. The other day during our radio show, I said, yes, we need some C++ or C# programmer. And he wrote me 5 minutes later. And like that, you know, that night I started talking to him about it. And the next day he had a working beta that worked better than the one that we'd spent six months on before. And he's beating it.
And from scratch too, right?
From scratch.
He didn't pick it up?
No,
yep.
He didn't take any of the code from the other guy.
Ah.
Although he did use some freeware. Like a lot of programming now is kind of building blockish. Like there are things that exist and then you put them into other things and then write the code to connect them and then tweak it. And he's doing it that way. But he was smart enough to do it. And nobody's
kind of like putting music together from samples.
Exactly. It's the building block. But it's not as simple as like putting a new engine in an old car. It's, you know, putting an engine in an old car and then like writing, you know, creating the wiring and computer system to run it or something. So
Wow. Well, kudos, man. That's good news.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to talk more about the project yet or will people have to wait?
No, I can talk about it. I will also say, and here's a, you can tell me, thank me for my service on this. I have completely sprained my right thumb working on Fiend stuff in the past couple days. I've spent all day mousing with my left hand only.
Kudos to you. I thank you for your service.
Yep.
I've had trouble typing and stuff too, and I'm worried that my hands won't heal in time. I've got a big DJ tryout on Sunday for that boutique DJ shop.
White label DJs.
I jumped off the top of a ladder on Saturday over a fence and landed on a boulder horizontally and almost killed myself.
Luckily,
my hands were quick enough to put themselves in front of my head, so I didn't crack my brain skull. But I had brain to sacrifice skull?
Is that from 30 Rock? Is that a Tracy Jordanism?
Dan Coxon, the brain guy grapes. Who first introduced me to libertarianism.
Brain grapes.
Said, He said Brain Skull would be the name of his punk band if he ever had one.
Okay.
Just because it's redundant and funny. So
yeah.
Brain Skull. But yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing a wrist brace. And so I guess we're broken wrist buddies.
Yeah. Is it your right hand or your left hand?
Both hurt, but the left is much worse. It's been swelling. I've had to soak it in Epsom salt, so I feel like I'm an old man.
Hey, what's that, Sonny? Can you go down to the store and get me some Epsom salts?
Yes, exactly. You do know what that is.
Only because my grandmother... Oh, no. Only because my grandmother used them.
Okay.
No, man. We just shoot it full of lidocaine and take some heroin. No, I'm kidding. That's how we used to do it. But... yeah, the reason I'm laughing is because you called me driving home from your accident.
And yeah, I was like, I fell off and then I felt woozy.
You rambled for like 5 minutes straight without letting me get a word in edgewise, and you never do that. And I was worried you had a concussion, so I started asking you just absurd questions to like gauge your response. And you got all frustrated, and you're like, I gotta go, bye. And then I was like, and I told DJ about it, and I was like, should I call him up and tell him to go to the hospital? And he's like, nah, his wife will tell him if he needs to go to the hospital.
Right.
So, you know, I was trying to like micromanage everything, including your brain, because your brain's valuable to me.
Aww, that's
as
so
a
sweet.
Friend and as a work partner, both, you know.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww, I'm touched.
Yeah.
Truly I am. Well, I feel for your thumb too. So my thoughts and prayers are with Michael's thumb.
I thank my thumb for my service.
Hey, switch to a touchpad. I'm telling you, man. Switch.
For what? My computer?
Try it out.
Hook it up to my computer.
Yeah, you don't need your thumbs for a touchpad.
Well,
do they make them for desktops?
That's what I'm asking you.
I actually have a
10 keypad, but it's numbers only. DJ got it for doing taxes and then never used it.
Hmm. Okay.
It was on sale in the 49-cent bin at Office Max, in the 49-cent like tub,
nice.
The big tub they have.
Nice.
It's a USB. Nice. It goes. Yep.
I did an install for an old man the other day, and he had like an adding machine.
Hang on, that just sounds like like you're a gigolo. Is that what you kids are calling it now?
Oh,
I did an install for an old man.
I went and utilized that. We did an install on them both.
Yeah. No, I hooked up his internet and his cable, and I remember looking at his desk, and I was trying to find something to unplug so I could unplug the modem in, and I saw this like old ancient thing that I didn't know what it was, and I almost unplugged it, and then I realized it was an adding machine. I was like, oh, he probably uses that still, so I was hands off.
Yeah, yep. You know, was it a Burroughs adding machine?
I don't know, man. I don't know what that is.
Burroughs was the big... I don't know what that is. Burroughs was the big office equipment machine company before IBM existed, like going back to like 1800. They made typewriters and adding machines, and they made billions. And the writer, William S. Burroughs, was the heir to their fortune. And that's how he was able to just shoot dope and travel to Tangiers and write his whole life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lucky him.
I know.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The black sheep in the family. So I was, I've been thinking a lot about radio and like, you know, like we used to talk about anything and people have complained that we like, you know, we won't go there now, you know, on the weekend shows and we try to dump it all in here. And I actually was really thinking about how weird radio is. I was listening to, Free Talk Live yesterday and I'm not picking on them because this could easily happen to us too. They were saying they ended this segment by both saying and agreeing with each other. You know, you can't – people think that the government grants rights. They don't grant rights. Nobody can grant rights. You have rights in you. They're not granted. And then the other guy agreed. I forget who was saying it, but it was Mark and Ian. And then they cut to a commercial, and the first thing in the commercial was, if you're an inventor, you need to have the United States government grant you patent rights to protect your invention. Find out more at... I was like, wow. And, you know, it's not hypocritical or anything. It's who even knows if it's their ad or the network's ad or whose ad. And when we're played on – somebody was listening to us on the radio in Wyoming the other day, and they said, like, you know, we were talking about, like, the absurdity of the military-industrial complex and how police overstep their bounds and how things that shouldn't be – you know, that don't have a victim shouldn't be a crime. And then they cut to two ads in a row, and one was like – patriotic music, and it said, join the National Guard to defend your nation. And then there was an ad right after that for, like, you know, the Wyoming Governors Association wants to remind you that the cops will bust you if you drive with any alcohol in your system.
Those commercials.
Yeah, so that's what plays on the radio after us, and we have no control over it if we want to be on radio. It's cool. We're embedded with innocent, you know, we're embedded in the system. We're embedded software.
We're the innocence they're embedding their violence in. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, the rights conversation, because if you say that they grant you the rights, you're conceding what's the actual fact, which is that they own you. They think they own you. The state thinks they own you. And so, yeah, in that paradigm, they are the ones that grant you permissions and things to do, because they're guaranteeing that you're alive, because at any time they could just kill you or throw you in a cage.
Yeah.
They're guaranteeing that you're out there and free.
Speaking of intellectual – go ahead.
I'm just saying governments that nobody should be able to grant you rights. But the reality of the situation is the government pretty much places a lien against all of our lives and property. And they can call it up at any time. So when they let you live your life and leave you alone for the most part, you know, other than spying on you 24/7, then the government, the state, they consider that granting you a right, because otherwise you'd be in jail.
Yeah. Speaking of intellectual property, this weekend, this Sunday on the Freedom Fiends radio show, we are interviewing Stefan – what's his name? Stephen Kinsella?
Kinsella.
Kinsella, yeah. Yes. And he's an intellectual property attorney who doesn't believe in the validity of intellectual property, which, you know, he started out doing it. Now he still does it, but he has great theories about it. Now – every interview.
Well, that's the beauty of it, though, Michael, is that he's a professional in it, right? He's the expert, and he realized through that what BS it all was, and that's why he's been so great at being the pioneer.
Does he still do it, though?
I think he's a consultant now, or he's on his own, or he does his own law firm. I think he used to be an employee, and now he does his own thing. So I think he still does work. I'm not sure.
Well, we should ask him that. Like, do you still, you know, represent people to protect their intellectual property? And I'm not going to say he's a hypocrite to do that. I mean, if you trained your whole life to do it and you're doing it, I don't know. You know, what is he going to do?
He could be on the other end, Michael. He could be on the end defending people, Nima? From ludicrous patent claims. You know?
Okay, thank you, Nima. Yes. I like it when you call me by my name. Yeah.
Do you?
So, but okay. People, I'll do it more. Every interview with him, I searched a bunch of them online. He's really good. I'm really looking forward to it. But every interview is about intellectual property. And he actually said to me he's kind of sick of being interviewed about that. So I said, all right, we'll just talk to you about tranny hookers shooting drugs and machine guns. And he said, all right. We'll talk about other stuff, too.
This is a radio show, though.
Okay, darn. Well, we should be kind of macho libertarian flashy and get him out of his little, lawyery bubble.
His IP box?
Yes, get him out of his IP box.
All right.
Yep.
We can do
One of the interviews I heard with him was this new, it's a video podcast from Canada that I really liked. And it's two guys sitting in a room that looks really cool, and they have really good sound equipment. And it's kind of interesting. They have a lot of the same sound equipment I have, which makes me think they are some of the many people who've clicked on the Amazon link of our recommendations, which is really cool. Because most DIY media kind of sucks in quality, and their quality is really good. And I think that they have been listening to, looking at the Creamy Radio audio blog or something, because they have some of the same stuff we have, and they sound really good, and they know how to use it. They are called Oh, they're actually called Liberty Beat Podcast, which is weird because they're great. And there's a really boring thing that we don't like by a guy who's kind of cool, but it's also called the Liberty Beat with what's his name?
Oh, you're talking about John Bush?
Yeah, the tyranny. We call it the tyranny beat because it's nothing but tyranny for 5 minutes a day.
It's like a 5 minute bump, like news piece. And the only thing that really annoys me about it is after every news read, there's the same 10 or 15 second bump of music. And it's annoying because it's between everyone and it's the same one.
Yeah.
It's also the same one that the intro is. And it's just repetitive. And
I don't like it. But I like his stuff. I love that thing of him like yelling at his city council. That was pretty ballsy. And he got removed physically by cops and then came back and called them all Hitler. And it was great.
Well, kind of like a Kokesh thing, right? Yeah. His videos of public disobedience are really great. But I don't know.
But his podcast Adam's podcast was great today, at least for 25 minutes. Adam wasn't there. Adam's somewhere else, and I was taking his place for the day. So it was great. It was great. Yeah, his podcast is kind of like, yeah, dude, what's up? I don't know. It's not the quality of his videos. Adam's videos are really good.
You know, I've listened to him interview people, though, and I've always really enjoyed when Kokesh interviews people. The ones that I've heard, at least. I think mostly I hear the ones of him interviewing Stefan Molyneux, and they have a good chemistry. And so he's a good interviewer. I mean, that's what we like about his videos, right? Is he does MOS interviews and gets people to say silly things. So he's really good at that.
The two guys that do this this podcast, the Liberty Beat podcast from Canada, they look exactly like or almost exactly like the John Frew brothers from Death Clock who run the website dieforDeathClock.com. And they're because one of them is the I'd recommend that you serpentine recipient.
Right. But if I were you, I would serpentine.
Yeah. But they look just like those two guys. But it's a really good podcast. And they have a pee-pee puppy. One of them gets up to go to the bathroom. You know, I think that's where he goes. He goes down the hall and he's gone for about 5 minutes. And the other guy keeps talking to Stefan. But his little dog jumps up and wags its tail and follows him down the hall. Maybe he's feeding the dog, but I'm assuming it's a pee-pee puppy because I have pee-pee kitties that follow me into the bathroom.
Yeah. Mine do that too. I think it's because they know they have a captive audience. If you're going to be sitting for a while, they can just rub up against your leg and you're not likely to pick them up and, you know, take them other places.
You know, I was listening to Free Talk Live the other day, and they were talking about this really ridiculous case. And I was listening to it with DJ about this ridiculous case where some cop somewhere gave some woman a $2,500 ticket because her, like, 2 or 3 year old kid peed in the front yard in broad daylight.
That's an old one, though, isn't it? Or is there a new one?
Well, the cop got fired. That was the new news on it. But we were listening to that. And DJ went out to water in the front yard like an hour later. And the 3-year-old kid next door was standing in the front yard and looked at her and peed and then like looked away. Like he peed at her. He was a pee-pee kid.
Kid-y.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting case, the $2,500 ticket one, because not only did they fire the cop, but I think the chief of police like put out a statement in the media that it was ridiculous what the cop did.
Yeah.
And made like a public apology. And wow, I mean, cops – you know, at other places, you always hear the norm seems to be cops kill people and they get paid vacation and come back.
That was because the media picked it up and there was a call flood. Otherwise, it would have just gotten swept under everything, probably.
Well, how weird of a society is it where, you know, something like that, that's obviously ridiculous. But at the same time, it's not as heinous as the SWAT raids, the 100 or something SWAT raids that occur every single day.
Yeah, I'd rather have a kid peeing in their yard than a little kid who doesn't know better pee. I mean, DJ was kind of disturbed. She was like, kind of like, what? God, man. And came in. Like, but, you know, not like, oh, we need to call the cops. And not even like we need to talk to the parents. Like, you know, I'm sure I peed at my neighbors when I was 3, probably, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Kids peeing is not a big deal, man.
Well, I did worse stuff than peeing. Like, I sprayed the neighbors with the hose, like some old lady. I sprayed her with the hose, like freezing water. Like, not freezing, but just like she was like, and my mother came out and yelled at me, and she's like, are you okay? And the neighbor said, I'm okay. It's very refreshing, Virginia. Like, she was being really nice, you know, so I wouldn't get spanked or something. But, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Michael.
We haven't even looked at the notes, man. It's funny.
Wait, we have notes? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess
notes.
We do.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Michigan escapee. Michigan escapee said that Adam Kokesh should raise money for his legal fund, but with a raffle, where you get to tase Adam if you win.
The punchline was it would allow Adam to make money for something he usually has happen to him, but never gets paid for. Smiley face.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a video of Adam getting tased. He usually just gets thrown to the ground or body slammed or carried away.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been tased.
Is there a video of Adam getting tased?
I don't think he's been tased. I think he's been arrested a whole hell of a lot. There's a t-shirt that says Free Adam, and it's a picture of him with a shotgun that they're selling to raise money. And somebody said, the great comment on it, somebody said, yes, and the t-shirt will be applicable several times every year.
Right. It's not a unitasker. More than one use. Excellent.
Yeah.
So
Adam Kokesh.
So what did you guys talk about on the show? I know people are probably already listening to it by now, but I didn't get to listen to it, and I've got you here as my captive audience. What'd you guys bring up?
80s DC punk rock, Adam's strengths and weaknesses as an activist. They asked, man. I don't know. Let's see.
do you ruffle any feathers?
I don't think so. We all got along good. I asked Liz if she was my daughter because we were talking about 80s punk rock, and she said, yeah, my parents were really into that. And I said, oh, were you – because we played a song by Scream. She said, my parents used to listen to that back in the day. I said, oh, were you conceived at a Scream show? And she said, no, probably some punk band in upstate New York. And I said, really? I'm from upstate New York. Am I your dad? Is that why you brought me on this show? Like it's the Maury Povich show or something?
The long lost daughter of Mr. Michael Dean.
She'd be about the right age. She's about your age. Yeah, like you could be my kid. You'd be, if my daughter was still alive, she's born in 84. When were you born?
84.
Mm-hmm.
What month was she born?
Oh, my son, Nima. January 10th.
I was born in March. Okay.
Son, Nima. Yes.
Aww. Well, you always called yourself you and DJ my Wyoming parents.
Yeah,
she kind of works.
No, you called us that. I didn't call you that. Yeah.
Her. Okay.
Wait, no, you called DJ your Wyoming mom and to her, and then you called us your Wyoming parents to somebody else. I don't know who.
Okay.
Oh, I found a new. I don't know what that is. In TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in 30 Rock. You know Ceri, the like really young, hot, blonde assistant or like secretary.
That Jenna Maroney hates.
Yes, because she's younger and prettier. She says, and all of her jokes are about, you know, Liz and Jenna being old, basically.
Right.
And they're unintentional jokes. She says, Ceri says to Liz, it's inspiring to see that a woman in her mid-30s can still find true love. And Liz says, Ceri, I'm 47, or I'm 43. And Ceri says, I don't know what that is.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's a young person saying it. See, it's funny both ways. That's why it's such a perfect joke.
It does work both ways. Yep.
Yeah.
So we pimped sound conditioning as an upcoming topic this weekend and then never talked about it. So did some sound conditioning. We just recorded it. It's actually going to be released. I'm going to write maybe I'll download like Dragon Dictate, you know, the demo and try using that since I can't type with two hands. So
me and my wife used to have so much fun with Dragon
because it doesn't really work
with, Right. It was on my work iPhone in Washington State for the news station, and me and my wife would just say stuff into it, and it was so
poetry.
Fun. Yeah, literally.
Did you just vape in front of your mic? Are you vaping right now?
Just now, I am, but I don't know if just this.
I heard it. It went like, zzz. Or maybe that's something else.
Like that?
Vape really close to the mic.
Okay, hold on.
Yep. You don't hear it?
It's buzzing.
Yeah. Here, listen. I'll do it.
Well, I don't monitor myself. I use my ears.
Listen when I do it. Listen when I do it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's the coil. It's not the microphone picking up the sound. It's the inductance of the coil next to the big coils in these RE20 mics. I'll do it again. Here, listen.
That's kind of cool. I almost want to sample it and auto-tune it, or put it as a spread across the keyboard and play notes with it. Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
It's got a very analog synth sound to it.
I know.
Yeah. That's dope. But yeah, we did some sound conditioning because, you know, I moved in and so my space has been empty. And I did some rearranging. So for the radio show on the weekend, I had put up some blankets to help sound condition, but I took them down so that I could install speakers above my desk and install my turntables because I've got some DJ work coming up and need to practice and get my chops back for that. But so before the show, we recorded again with the empty room, real reverby, like not good radio, not good audio. And then I was like, okay, and time me, and I will go ahead and put blankets up, and we'll record the difference. It took like what, 2 minutes, 45 seconds?
3 minutes, because you forgot the last blanket, and it took you 15 seconds.
I forgot the clips on the last blanket, which is right behind the mic, so it's the most important one. Yeah, 3 minutes, and the sound difference was night and day.
Yep, it was the 3 minute studio. I don't know if I'm going to call it the 3 minute. It's got to be a little sharp, snappier than that. 3 minute studio, studio construction, studio.
What about 3 minute sound conditioning?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Although, I mean, that's what it is. The studio itself took longer than that because I had to install a mic and build a frame out of PVC and convert my desk to a standing desk. It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Much longer than 3 minutes.
So do you want to explain how you...
I think I'm going to get...
Do you want to explain how you did it for the listening audience?
Yeah. I think we discovered that the most important piece, like I said just now, is the blanket. It's like a poncho. It's really thick and rough. It's not a blanket you'd want to sleep with. But yeah, that makes it better
like
for sound
Adam,
conditioning.
I was bitching at the Adam versus the Man people today. Their studio looks so cool. I mean, he's got like space aluminum space blankets, those aluminum blankets hanging up on the wall, and then like some weird tiled thing, and then a big metal street sign. It's all like industrial and metal looking, and it makes it sound
horrible.
Those
are just plate reverbs.
Yes,
that's all they are.
Yes.
Those are plate reverbs.
Yeah. And then they had like condenser mics on, you know, really fancy scissor arms like we have, and nice condenser mics, which are too sensitive, really, for anything like that. And they had them like 2 feet away from their face, man. I mean, anybody can listen to that episode and go like, oh, I can tell Michael from them because I sound like this.
And they sound
like that.
They sound echoey, man. Yeah, it's bad.
They sound like that.
And I tried to get them.
The federal government.
Yeah. It's like, how's the federal government ever going to find you if you sound like you fell down the well, man?
Yeah, well, maybe that's the point. Yeah,
I guess the federal government found them. I think I can take that one back.
I guess Parks Police and SWAT team, yeah.
Oh, we also talked about – I said that they should make cookies and leave them out on a plate in the kitchen that says for the SWAT team for next time they come. Maybe it'll be a little nicer. And I also said like
– SWAT-a-claws.
Make them now, but don't – like just leave them out. So if they raid you again in 6 months, they'll have like hard cookies to eat.
Yeah,
maybe leave out. They should leave out some glasses of milk for them now too for 6 months.
Oh man! See, then they're going to think they're poisoned, and they're going to take them to jail for weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
And then cookies and milk will be banned, and kids will go to jail at Christmas time.
They should be, man.
You are just opening up Pandora's box.
Cookies are dangerous,
man.
Kids shouldn't be anywhere near them.
Dangerously delicious.
I heard James Davis call into Free Talk Live tonight, and he didn't say it was Davis. I just knew his voice instantly. He said it was James, and he talked about all the new regulations that he's having to put up with, and he's thinking about moving to New Hampshire and just doing camps for kids there.
Oh, good. Where was he at? Michigan?
New York.
I forget. New York, upstate New York. That's right. I had forgotten. It's been a while since I interviewed James.
Yep.
But yeah, man, he does great work. And I just remember how tough it is in a lot of states now and getting tougher because of all this, you know, hubbub and this media scare tactics of, you know, the kids, and we need more regulations so that child molesters can't get jobs at, you know, these places. And you got to be so scared for your kids. but you know, it ends up hurting people and costing more money. There was a story I did in Washington where, you know, a woman had a little daycare running out of her home, you know, like women have done for since time began. And she was going to have to like go get 2 years of retraining or something ridiculous like that and pay money as if she was a brick and mortar, you know, giant daycare like La Petite or something, just to watch two or three neighbor kids. And she can't afford that. And then she's going to be put out of business if she doesn't. And then the parents of the kids who are her neighbors that need that service are going to have to go put them in, you know, a big brick and mortar place.
Well, that's the idea. Then the state can own your kids more.
I guess that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, just terrific. And were there some really new heavy stuff going on with James? Or was
I don't
it
know.
Just,
we already talked about something that happened on Free Talk Live today. I don't want to just recap okay. Free Talk Live. People can go listen to Free Talk Live. I do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go do it. Yeah.
Well, let's go to the market.
Yeah, man. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
So, sound conditioning, Nima.
Yeah.
We got it.
We got sidetracked again.
Sound conditioning, we got it.
Yeah.
You want it? We got it.
So, yeah, I think the most important thing, as I was saying, is the blanket, the rough blanket right behind the mic. It's literally like less than a foot away from behind the mic because that's where my voice is going. And before it gets to bounce, it's being absorbed by that. And then as a backup, you know, we've got a blanket on the left wall covering pretty much the whole thing, at least half of it. And behind me, a blanket on the back wall. It's actually draped over my dog cage too, so it's not parallel. It's not laying flat. And the one on the left wall is also not parallel. It's draped over a bookshelf I have so that they're kind of poking out. You know, they're not flat surfaces that are just going to bounce back even though they're absorbing.
Yeah, basically the biggest enemy of good sound conditioning is parallel walls and reflective surfaces.
Yep.
And a lot of people – I've said this before, but since we're talking about it, I'll say it again and kind of like it'll be prep for writing this article that I'm going to write in the next couple days. There's a big difference between sound conditioning and soundproofing. Now, how is the soundproofing in that room? Do you have much outside noise?
Yeah, we have outside noise. I mean, this is all temporary stuff, so this is not my final setup, but this is my stopgap. I have two thick or decently thick foam mats I bought from an Army surplus store. We were actually going to use them when we were hiking down to the Grand Canyon last summer, but we didn't because we got a cabin at the last minute. But they are nailed to the wall and completely covering the window, and in front of them is that's where my turntable setup is. So there's big, heavy equipment in front of them keeping them in place as well as them being nailed to the wall. And that helps to keep out the air conditioning sound because the air conditioning unit's outside of my window. It also helps to keep the train sound out. So we live near train tracks, and a few trains have gone by while we've been recording, and I don't think anybody's heard them.
I've not heard them. But, you know, these mics are kind of magical, too, in that they pick up a really wide field, but the wide field seems to stop like 3 feet from the mic somehow.
Yep. Yep.
That's why they're
so – they have really, really great patterns.
Aren't you glad I talked you into it? I'm glad you got the EV320.
I enjoy my big boy mic. I was watching, for some odd reason, I got on a Miley Cyrus kick of all things last night and was watching YouTube videos. And she was being interviewed by Ryan Seacrest. And I just saw him with a big RE320 in front of his face. No pop filter, no windscreen, just right in front of his face. And yeah. Miley Cyrus, too. Just
a lot of
big black RE320s.
A lot of radio stations do not use pop filters. Well, actually, they're windscreens, the little foam thing that's going on them. Pop filters are like the pantyhose.
They didn't
on
use
the rim.
Either, yeah. though. They didn't use either.
Yeah. Well, they have them built in, but I don't think they have enough of them built in. So I always throw a pop filter on any microphone. I think it gives it a much better sound. So you don't get the plosives when you say P's and B's and D's
yeah.
and T's.
Well, I picked up a little bit of a plosive at one point because it was video too. You see Ryan get really close to the mic as he exclaims something to Miley. And you could hear almost a plosive. You know, the mics are really good at combating them, but you could hear how it would have been if it were a lesser mic. But my ears still noticed it, you know?
Yeah, they're really low tech too. I mean, the RE20 is from like 1967 and has not changed since then. Maybe the manufacturing process has, but the materials and design have not. And the RE320, the one you have, is really new. It's probably a little more advanced technologically, but probably not much. And the in-between one, the more expensive one actually, is the RE27, which has been around for about 10 years. Are you sure that they were not using one of the other two? You're sure they were using your model?
Well, it was the color that made me think it.
Yeah,
and the black. And it looked brand new. Yeah. And I know that the 320s just came out a few months ago, right? Or
six months ago, maybe.
Yeah,
they're black, and the RE20s are kind of grayish, like really light green, like kind of hospital green color, like or more like military hospital wall green.
OD, yeah, I know what you mean.
What's that?
I was going to say OD green, but they're not that dark.
Is that,
not that dark.
Officer dress? What is OD?
I don't know. I just heard it.
Actually,
somewhere.
They're, you know, they're more the color of the uniforms the U.S. Army had in Vietnam than now. It was a lighter, lighter pale green.
Same hue, but a lot lighter.
Yeah. And the RE320s are kind of silvery.
Ah.
Yeah.
Wait, no, not the 320s. 320s are black.
Oh, you're talking about the RE27D, yeah. The one that Ian has. I was hearing a bunch of plosives on Ian today, too. I don't know. Maybe he was just making love with the mic up here. Like,
yeah, like that.
Peter
oh,
Piper
yeah.
picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Oh, yeah. Picked his pecker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, for soundproofing, which is different because soundproofing is the idea is sound doesn't get in or out. Which sound conditioning is making sure your sound doesn't bounce around everywhere and sound bad. But for soundproofing, you had suggested acoustic tiles.
Well, here's the thing. I have a really good analogy I came up with or example of the difference between soundproofing and sound conditioning. In a cave 40 feet under the ground in rock, you know, a rock cave would be,
it's gonna be soundproof.
Totally soundproofed. And totally not sound conditioned. Like, if you just dropped a pin in there, you'd hear it echo. But you could hear a bomb outside. You probably wouldn't hear it in there. Now, let's see. What would be an example of the complete opposite? Okay. A tent in the woods is sound conditioned but not soundproof. Like a tent, there's not much echo in it.
Well, it would depend on the material the tent was made out of.
A canvas tent. A canvas tent.
If it's a shiny Gore-Tex, it probably won't be sound conditioned.
And the Gore-Tex fortune, one of the people who are going to inherit that fortune or have, is a woman in Wyoming who's a small government libertarian, actually, Susan
Gore.
But
if it were like a thick canvas or like a teepee even, then it probably would be sound conditioned.
Yeah. Okay, let's say a what could a tent be made out of? Felt? a blanket. Like a blanket. Oh, a blanket fort
a
in your living
fort.
Room that a kid, little kid would make is totally sound conditioned, but totally not soundproof. You know, the kid makes a noise. His parents are going to hear it in the living room. His parents talk in the living room. He's going to hear it in the fort, but there's going to be no little or no reflection there. You know, I'm actually getting some echo from your headphones.
Oh, sorry. My ear was I was turning my head to the right, so the earphone was directly on the mic. I'll avoid that.
What
sorry.
Headphones are you using these days? Do you have good ones?
They're decent. Let me look at the brand name here. Audio-Technica ATH-M35s.
You need to get
about
the Sony.
$50 on Amazon.
You need to get the Sony 7506, man. That's your next step of big boy radio equipment.
I like the Audio-Technicas. They're flat response and they're decent. They're made to be a clone of the Sonys, and they're about 40% of the price.
I think these have better keeping the sound in, though, than those.
Maybe. But yeah, so for soundproofing, I think where we might be at is acoustic tiles, although we've got lots of great suggestions from our Fiend fans who are also knowledgeable about this.
Well, the thing I was thinking about acoustic tiles, if you don't know what those are, I'm sure everyone listening has seen them at some point. For one thing, most police interrogation rooms are lined with them. So if you've ever been in a police interrogation room, they probably have them in there. They are 1 by 1 foot square tiles. Sometimes they make them bigger. And they're basically a combination of some soundproofing and some sound conditioning in something that's really easy to put up. You know, like the, you've been in my basement, Nima. We made a whole movie down, a whole record movie down there pretty much. The ceiling down there is acoustic tiles. They are, and they're about $1 per tile. So they're about $1 per square foot. So, you know, your studio there, you could cover the walls and the ceiling probably for less than $200.
Yeah. And, well, I don't need to cover every single surface because there's furniture and stuff like that. So I could just cover the stuff that's showing, which, yeah, I could probably do it for pretty cheap. Might try that. Some other great suggestions, which I don't know
and
if they're going to work out.
I want to say where you could get them if people don't know. You can basically get them at any hardware store or home improvement store. And you can order them on Amazon. And usually when you order big orders of heavy stuff like that on Amazon, it's usually like free UPS shipping for anything over $50. So look for a place that does that. And you can either just glue them to the wall or you can get like framing to put them in. And it's pretty cheap, good solution that kills two birds with one stone.
Right. Yeah, so that's where I'm at now. We'll see what happens when I actually go out and spend the money. Some other suggestions that I toyed around with and or will slightly be implemented is bookshelves covered with old cheap books, you know, or books that you have. I've got two bookshelves in my studio right now that I'm going to fill with the books we have already. If my wife doesn't take them back, they're her favorite bookshelves and she would like to see them in the living room. I don't know who's going to win that battle. but if I end up putting the books in the bookshelves, I think that'll help, you know, that part of the wall. Books are expensive. Even cheap books that are crappy that you're not going to read can
be expensive.
I
seriously think that acoustic tiles per square foot of coverage would be cheaper.
I think they would.
Or not much – about the same as using used books.
Hey, because at Goodwill, it's $2 a book. $2 for a crappy paperback that nobody's read in 20 years and would want to read ever is $2. You know, I can't imagine they're much cheaper anywhere else. So, yeah, that I don't know if that's the big cost-effective solution. Somebody else had a creative idea of you go to a junkyard or a salvage yard, you can get the floor mats out of old cars. Somebody said, you know, you could pick them up for free. I don't know if that's the case. They might charge you a miscellaneous charge for them, you know, $1 a piece, something like that. Didn't try that because I don't know. That'd probably be stinky, and I don't want my studio to stink.
Yeah. I like your studio. I saw the pictures of it. I'm proud of you and happy for you that you finally have a dedicated audio man cave.
Me too.
Because you were like in a closet off your marital bedroom and had to like whisper and be quiet when she was sleeping. So
that was the problem with the closet. But I loved the setup of the closet other than that. In fact, what I'm doing with my studio is trying to recreate the closet. The things I liked about it were I built the desk into the wall so it was standing height. I really like the standing height because I like to do the show standing up. You get a better vocal range with that. And I feel like I have more energy. You know, I feel like I'm standing and delivering, you know, not just sitting down chilling. So what I did was to recreate that, I you know, basically took the same desk I had, the desktop I had from the closet, brought it in here and put two cubes I bought at Goodwill for $3. Two plastic like shelving units and put them under it and screwed them in so that they lifted up the desk above an old IKEA desk I have. And then I built a PVC frame to imitate the clothes hanger, the clothes hanging pole that was above me. And on that, I've hung the microphone and my speaker system. So I have everything I need right here, exactly as it was in the closet, but like you said, I won't have to be quiet and whispering. If we need to record at night, which we're doing right now, if we need to record at night, it's not going to wake the wife up. And if I need – this was the big one too. If I'm DJing at night, even though I would wear headphones, there was no music coming out. I'm hitting the crossfader hard, right? I'm doing some scratches and some chops, and I'm doing a lot of work on the crossfader. She would wake up from the crossfader moving back and forth.
You mean
and
because from it's
like
the
click, 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 just here. I don't know if you can hear it. You hear it?
Yep.
That would wake her up, you know, in the next room. So hopefully that won't happen anymore either. So yeah, I like my closet. My room, which imitates the closet. I'm stoked about it.
Yeah. It's funny that you said you're recreating your closet there. Somebody looked at my room in the house I have with my wife and said that I've basically recreated a bachelor pad studio apartment in one room of a big house. I have.
That's
it's
exactly
like,
right.
I have my own room. You know, she has her room. We still sleep in the same bed a lot, but I have my room because I sleep in weird hours and it would keep her up if I had my stuff, you know, in the room with her, my noise, my midnight noise making. So, and I basically have everything in this one room that's mine in the house, and everything else in the rest of the house is mostly her stuff and our stuff. But, it looks remarkably like the bachelor pads I had before I met her. It has nicer stuff and it's a little cleaner. But looks pretty similar, man. You've seen it.
I have. That's funny. That's the perfect way of putting it. But it's totally true.
Is your closet – is your studio room now bigger than your closet was at your old place?
Yeah, way bigger. That's another big bonus. In the closet, you know, I had it organized decently. But if I needed to find an old wire that I hadn't used or cable that I hadn't used in a month or two, I'd have to dig around for it and I'd have to rearrange stuff. You know, I'd have to sort of move stuff out of the way and find it. And now I have a closet in my room. My room's got rooms, like I'm Young Jeezy or something. So I actually have a closet where I can keep everything organized nice and neat. It's not by any means there yet, but it will be eventually. And so – yeah.
This house actually has a closet within a closet. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but, the gun room is basically a closet, a walk-in closet. You've been in it, right?
I have, and then the Freedom Fiends Armory.
But it's got a closet in there that someone built, a previous owner built in there that we keep closing.
Right. And it's an unfinished closet too, isn't it? Like it's concrete walls and all that, or concrete floors.
Yeah, it's kind of like they built a wooden box from the floor to the ceiling and put a door on it. It's, if you walk in the gun room, it's right in front of you. You have to, like, go left past it to get – it sticks out into the room. Yeah, but it's a closet within a closet. My room.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe it's my Middle Eastern heritage, but I always had a thing for unfinished basements and closets. I don't know why.
Why, dude? What's the Middle Eastern?
Know.
I don't know the Middle Eastern connection. What's the Middle Eastern connection?
Because it's like a bunker. it's like what they would need to bust with their bunker busters.
Bunker buster. Bunker buster. Yeah.
Makabata. No. I don't know how we got on the Asian accent there. All that Chinese food you've been eating.
I'm stealing time from the Fiends. I'm working on the Fiend Phone blog that we're going to be using soon. So you go ahead and wrap. Yeah, I want to talk about one thing that's really cool. I sent you an email last night. I was listening to the Freedom Fiends feed, which people should listen to. It's a 24/7 streaming feed of every episode and every Anarchy Gumbo and every song and a bunch of your music and a bunch of my music. It's pretty cool. It's pretty listenable. I actually listen to it sometimes. It's like a radio station, but it's streaming and it's all us. I was listening to your interview or discussion with Garrett on the very short-lived but very cool Disindoctrination podcast. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I do. Yeah. My little brother Frank was a huge fan of that.
Yeah. And it pod-faded, man, which is kind of funny because he I asked him what gear he had. He sounded pretty good, and I gave him some tips when he started out and Garrett started out. And he said, I have the Pod Fade 1000, which is, I think, how we started saying the this number thing.
Okay.
And it was some kit he bought on Amazon. It was like $99, and it was called, you know, the something podcaster kit. And it came with a really cheap condenser mic – and like a USB interface for it and a little crappy little holder for it and a CD or a CD that had some freeware audio editing crappy software on it and a book on podcasting. I forget what it was. It wasn't Podcasting for Dummies, which actually is a good book, although it's out of date now. But and I know the guy who wrote it, but it was some other – it was like the first book that came out on podcasting, and I also know the guy who wrote that. Can't remember what it's called, but it was like – it was so out of print. Like it was so – like nothing useful in it anymore, and I think that the company who published it, you know, had printed 20,000 of them or something and sold 10,000 and still had a warehouse room full of them somewhere, and they just said, how can we get rid of these? Let's bundle them with a microphone. So it was this book – that was totally not relevant for most of it anymore about podcasting. And that's what he got for $99. But, you know, he made a good podcast with it. It was decent.
Yeah, it sure was.
But you were talking on there. It was right after you'd quit your last TV job. And he was like, you know, what's the future hold for NEMA? And you were like, well, I'm not going back to mainstream media no matter what, you know, unless they give me my own TV show on Fox or something, and that's not going to happen. So, you know, I don't know. I'm going to keep doing The Fiends, and, you know, what I'd really like to do is just have a radio show somewhere on some on some alternative radio station. And I'm thinking, like, okay, this is so cool because this is you 11 months ago picturing something that you didn't think could happen. And now we're on like 9 real radio stations, like not even alternative local stations, and being as weird as we want to be, as long as we don't cuss. So
we
so
thank
there.
You for your service, Michael. Yeah. So there. It is really amazing when you think about it, isn't it? I was thinking about it earlier because, I don't remember why, but I was remembering this conversation I had actually with my ex-fiance. She called me when I was on my way to Wyoming to start being a TV reporter, just out of the blue. I guess she had somehow
heard it through the grapevine. Was she trying to see if like, you wanted she could get back with you? Was it one of those test calls?
I have no idea. It was really weird and out of the blue. I hadn't spoken with her in like 6 months. And I was – you know, it was kind of a general chat, you know, not really even about us, but I was telling her, yeah, I'm going on, be a TV reporter. And she said she had gotten real political. And I think what she meant was she was campaigning for Obama.
Ew.
And so I went off on some rants, some anarchist rants, because I was an anarchist at that point. And she said, wow, I don't agree with you, but you should have your own radio show. And I was like, yeah, maybe one day. So maybe it's meant to be, man.
Were you doing The Fiends yet at that point?
No. This was before I met you. I didn't meet you until, you know, I did the Eye on Me video and you contacted me and we chatted on the internet. But then, yeah, I didn't meet you until after I'd been in Wyoming about a year, I think, or more, something like that.
Cool.
Maybe it was written. It's fate. it's fiend fate.
It was written. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think so.
You have this in the notes, and we were talking about Chinese food and giving bad Asian accents, but this is
I don't know
really...
what that is, but no, I do. I remember.
You do.
Yeah.
I know this is old news, but I don't think we've talked about it, and it just tickles me pink. I'm going to play this clip.
Okay.
This is a 29-second clip. It's from KTVU, a local affiliate news, TV affiliate news, and it kind of speaks for itself, but we'll comment on it after.
We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the 4 pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao. The NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board Flight 214 when it crashed. We are working to determine exactly what roles each of them played during the landing on Saturday.
And the news anchor's face is priceless because they cut back to camera. You know, it's a graphic the whole time with those actual names written out, which are obviously fake. And you can see her face
again.
When they cut back to her.
Say them again, in order.
In order, okay. Well, the order is really important.
It tells a story. It tells a story.
Yeah, it does. Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Holy Fuck, Bang Ding Ow.
Yeah. And I wonder if someone got fired for that. The thing was...
Oh, yeah. It was an intern. It was an intern who did it, according to MSNBC.
No, it was an intern at the NTSB that confirmed it. who had, you know, and it's there, and it's actually the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board. It's their policy. I hear you vaping, man. Keep the vaping away from the mic. It's their policy to never give out the names of pilots in crashes when it's still being investigated. So, you know, the intern screwed up. But I'm wondering if he was in on it with somebody, because somebody at the station wrote those words. And, you know, they got
and made the graphic.
Yeah.
And the thing about I don't know how big of a market this is, but I know in small to medium size, a lot of times the people in the back making the graphics, you know, they're high school kids or college kids and stuff like that. And, oh, man, they must have gotten such a kick out of it. Now, how could they not think, oh, man, this is somebody's playing a trick on us, but let's do it anyway. Won't that be a kick?
Yep.
Man. Yeah. So I don't know. I was trying to see if there was an update or a follow up on this, but I don't see anything about somebody at the station getting fired. I just see that it was an intern who confirmed it. Oh, man. I wish I could have been there in the newsroom and for the news meeting after. How quick do you think they realized that they were completely boned?
As soon as they read it, or as soon as the phone tree lit up.
Right. Oh, man. See, that's the only thing I miss. I miss moments like that where you're just like, wow, did that just go out on air? That's hilariously awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember we had an Asian reporter actually in Wyoming, and she was doing a story. It was about this drunk boating accident, or allegedly drunk boating. And it was this big controversy on I think it was Boyson Reservoir out there in Wyoming, and the guy had gotten injured, and so she read in graphic detail what the injuries were as they were explained in court. And she said ripped his anus apart. She used those words. Yeah. And it was at dinner time. It was at, you know, 5 o'clock news or 6 o'clock news, one of those two. And I just remember the news director just went ape crap, man. He just like threw his papers down.
Did he go ape poopy?
He went ape poopy. He was like, oh my God, it's dinner time. You can't say ripped anus apart at dinner time.
Yeah. When is the right time for a ripped anus on the news?
I don't think you can ever say ripped anus on the – I know it's technically correct. Like, those are the medical terms. But I don't know, man. I don't know if you could say ripped anus. It's prurient.
You know, when –
it's graphic.
When I was doing the DIY or Die DVD, that was actually the first and only at the time. And it may still be the only one, but it's the first for sure – independent DVD that had 5 subtitle languages on it. It may still be the only DVD. They never put that many on there because they never release DVDs without region encoding. They want to sell it separately in different regions and put, you know, limitations on it. But I put no region encoding on it and put 5 scripted, you know, like switchable text languages on the screen, and actually got people for free to translate it and then other people to check it. And the subtitles are really good, because I've shown it in Europe with the subtitles on, and people said the subtitles are better than most Hollywood product. But it almost went to press with this mistake in it, but somebody caught it. Was in the Spanish subtitles, you know, I say to somebody like, you know, how long have you been doing your own art? And he's like, oh, for like 25 years. And in Spanish, the word years and anuses is only a tilde away, or like a little, you know, diacritical mark. And it almost said for 25 anuses. But but the second person I had checking it caught that.
Yes, yes. Well, you could measure your art in the number of anuses it took.
That you've ripped and had replaced.
If you're a true artist.
Well, I've sprained my thumb on this. I guess with some performance art, you could sprain your anus, probably.
You could. I think you could.
Man, we're wrong. We're just wrong. This is wrong.
I guess. Sometimes we're right, but right now we're wrong.
We're so wrong. If this is, I don't know. I'm trying to make a joke.
Maybe we need to go to market.
Yeah, let's go to market. I want to go to there.
We go to market.
Yes.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the Central Scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Are you tearing your anus trying to think of what to talk about next?
Tina on Bob's Burgers.
You know who plays Tina? Tina's the daughter, right?
It's a male stand-up comedian who's hilarious. I've seen his stand-up, and I can't remember his name.
The older daughter. Tina's the mother or the older daughter?
No, Tina's the older daughter. The one that has a creepy obsession with horses and boys'
butts. That's not a male. That's that girl that's on 30 Rock that plays – yeah, it is.
No.
That girl does something on there.
Tina Belcher. I'm looking it up now. Dan Mintz. She is voiced by Mintz.
Somebody is voiced. I think the mother might be voiced by the girl that plays Hazel on 30 Rock. The girl that's also on The Daily Show sometime.
Are you sure it's not the youngest daughter? It sounds more like her.
Oh, the one with the rabbit ears. Yeah, it's her.
With rabbit ears. That's her. Yeah.
Yep. Because she's got creepy obsessions too.
They all do. It's a great ensemble cast. I know it's a great cast. Because it's just a bunch of stand-up comedians and people who are hilarious.
Yeah. Have you seen the crossover one? There's an Archer episode that's a crossover with Bob. Because, it's the same guy that voices Bob that does Archer.
And wasn't he also the coach on the first Brendan Small project on Adult Swim home movies?
Yes.
I think he was the coach. Yeah. It was hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious. Yes. I don't watch movies, but I do watch cartoons. I love me some good cartoons, man.
Do you? Do you really?
I do. I do. Yeah. I do indeed. Although I'm getting sick of Futurama. I hate to say it. I love it, but that's like our bedtime routine is we have to watch a Futurama before we sleep. And there are only so many episodes. I would like them to make more. But didn't it get canceled again?
I don't know.
I think it did.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Yeah. So let's see. Well, we haven't really gotten philosophical yet in this episode.
We got to do our feisty rant number one. You can have it. You take it.
Can I take it? Yeah. I don't know if I have one in me.
Can you take it?
I'll try to squeeze one out.
Can you take it? I think you can take it.
No, I don't want to go there. So what do you think about Paul Bonneau getting – I don't know if he got angry, but he kind of called Mike Vandebo out on hating the collectivists. Because I think that was just
semantics, man. I do see one point, though. Yeah, okay. Basically, to explain what it was he was upset with the interview – with part of the interview with Mike V that Mike kept using the word collectivist as a cuss word, and I guess we did too. And he was saying, the problem isn't collectivism. The problem is tyranny. Collectivism is just – that people are collectivists. They work together. They work voluntarily. And I think that's not collectivism. I think that's voluntary interaction. I see where he's going with it, and I think it's important to not conflate group action that's voluntary with socialism, communism, collectivism, what we call collectivism. A really good example is, do you know the story Stone Soup? Look up Stone Soup on Wikipedia. I mentioned it to my wife because she was making soup with like all the leftovers that we didn't want to go bad. And it was a really funny soup. It was really tasty, but it had like, I don't know, turtle weenies, as we call them.
Turtle weenies? What are turtle weenies?
Tortellinis. It had like tortellinis and like some string cheese and some goulash and some bunch of different spices and
string cheese in your soup.
I don't know what she put in it, but it was like stuff that wouldn't normally go in a soup. And she's a really good cook, and it was really good. And it was made from meals, and we had some Chinese food in there left over. And it just was a whole bunch of stuff in a soup, and it was really good. But it was basically the purpose of the soup was to not end up with leftovers going bad. So I walked in the kitchen while she was making it. I said, oh, you're making stone soup. Now read what stone soup is.
Well, I'll read the story. Interestingly, in Wikipedia, they actually have the story. I mean, it's basic and pared down because there's different regional permutations. But here's the basic one. Some travelers come to a village carrying nothing more than an empty cooking pot. Upon their arrival, the villagers are unwilling to share any of their food stores with the hungry travelers. Then the travelers go to a stream and fill the pot with water, drop a large stone in it, and place it over a fire. One of the villagers becomes curious and asks what they are doing. The travelers answer that they are making stone soup, which tastes wonderful, although it still needs a little bit of garnish to improve the flavor, which they are missing. The villager does not mind parting with a few carrots to help them out, so that gets added to the soup. Another villager walks by inquiring about the pot, and the travelers again mention their stone soup, which has not yet reached its full potential. The villager hands them a little bit of seasoning to help them out. More and more villagers walk by, each adding another ingredient. Finally, a delicious and nourishing pot of soup is enjoyed by all.
Yeah. And it's an old story.
A little
bit
of fraud in that, though. I guess not, because they said it was stone soup. And they said it was missing something. Yeah. So it's true.
And there's a little bit of, I don't know if fraud, but a little white lie in it, somewhere between white lie and fraud. But
not even, because they said stone soup.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So this was a story like my parents told me as a kid. And reading this, there was Shel Silverstein wrote a children's book of it in the 60s. And Captain Kangaroo told the story. And it's, you know, it goes back like 100 years, but it's been in a lot of modern stuff. When I was a kid, mostly, I don't think anyone's done much with it lately because they've found better ways to tell kids how to behave, more efficient ways. But I told the story to my wife, and she kind of scoffed at it like it sounded like a communist parable for kids. And I can see how it would look like that. But I said, now, hang on a sec. You know, don't be Ayn Rand here. Don't just say, ugh, people cooperating. That's horrible. Which is basically what I tend to do that too, you know. And we really shouldn't do that. And we should really differentiate between group cooperation action and forced group cooperation action.
Exactly.
And I think that's what Paul is trying to say.
Like with everything, the key is it voluntary or not?
Yeah.
So the same thing with collectivism. If you want to grant that to Paul, that, okay, collectivism is working together, well, then there's still a difference because there's voluntary collectivism, like the stone soup story, which is great, and then there's forced collectivism, which is, I guess, what Paul would call tyranny.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a matter of semantics, and I don't know. I think there's bigger word battles than this one, and I don't know. I don't know that the word collectivist is something I want to try to claim back for good the way we are fighting to try to claim the word anarchist back for good after it's been horribly tainted.
Well, here's I guess where it leaves a sour taste in my mouth, and I want to make sure we're not doing this, is to not be collectivist and grouping people into grouping individuals into groups, you know, rather than seeing them as individuals, by calling the collectivists, say, oh, it's the collectivists that are making life bad, as if they were some, you know, scapegoat, like, oh, it's the immigrants that are doing it, those damn immigrants kind of a thing, you know? I don't want to be there, because then it's obviously logically inconsistent, because if your problem is people grouping people together, instead of seeing them as individuals who own themselves, then you can't say, oh, it's those people who don't do that that I hate. You know? Like, yeah. I hate bigots. I hate everybody. I love everybody except racists. I hate those damn racists.
And I've also – well, but that almost borders on a fallacy. That people have complained to me that the Freedom Fiends speak collectively about collectivists. I see what you're saying of, like, not blaming this, you know, amorphous other for all the ills of the world. But – I think you can be collectivist with collectivists when they act as a hive mind and attempt to use the weapons of the state against everybody. I think that that is
But where does the hive mind come from? Because that's what we need to be attacking, just
those
like
people.
Clark and Rose said.
Those people.
What it is? No,
those
it's
people.
Not the people.
I'm kidding.
It's I know you are. I know you are. But it's the idea. It's just like Larkin said, just like Ben says, and just like you said in your song, it's a collective hallucination, and that
government
is
a collective hallucination, to be more specific. Yes, It.
To be more specific.
It, the horrible it.
But yeah, that's it. And so what you can do then is you can attack the idea without saying it's all those people. No, it's the idea. And people are subscribing to that idea and they're acting on it. And that's where you have the problem. That's where you get the state. That's where it comes from. This giant evil entity is nothing but a mindset. It's a paradigm that needs to be flipped around.
Those people.
Those people. You people. Yeah.
You know, I saw some incredibly collective stuff. Wish I could find it and show it to you. Let me see. Search on Google gun control cartoons. Somewhere there is a collection of like 100 recent gun control cartoons. They're mostly in favor of more gun control. And this is like what the mainstream media is showing the sheep that all gun owners are like. It is heinously disturbing. I mean, it basically says that all NRA members are neo-Nazis who literally dance on the bodies of dead children.
Wow. Yeah, I just did a Google image search, and there's some pretty annoying ones.
Describe
here.
Some of them. Annoying. That's a polite word for what I was describing. Yeah.
Okay, so there's one that has this big, crazy-looking guy who's completely decked out. He looks
decked
like
there's
an image. So he's
like
got 12
weekend
rifles.
Warrior. Yeah.
More than that. He's got a hip holster with a revolver in it. He's got bandoliers crossing his chest and one on his belt. And he's got a rifle with his finger on the trigger, like any gun person would not have.
Yeah.
And his back is just covered in rifles. He's got a sign that says, "The U.S. government is coming to get us." And then he's screaming out, "The real problem is mental illness." And there's an innocent-looking Uncle Sam standing a few feet away, just looking at him like, "What's this guy's problem? Why does he use guns to solve his problem?"
Yeah.
You know, it's the opposite, man. That Uncle Sam should be drawn with a drone controller in his palm, a little joystick.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's see. I didn't really get to read all these, so let's see. Okay, here's one. You beat him. What's the matter with you? And it's a guy holding a bat and a guy laying on the ground and a guy complaining. You strangled him. What's the matter with you? You stabbed him. What's the matter with you? A guy with a knife. You shot him. We've got to do something about guns. Okay, I guess that's anti-gun control.
There's a few in this group that are anti-gun control, but they're few and far between.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the gun control thing still just bugs me. But, you know, I don't really come across people who are gun grabbers where I live now. I guess it's because I live in Texas, but I live in Austin. You would think there'd be more. But everybody I talk to carries a gun or has one.
Well,
or
that's why this was so weird to me, because I've kind of narrowed my, you know, the people I have intentional interactions with to the point where I don't really know people who think like this. And these are from like big, you know, syndicated magazines and newspapers I guess this is how a lot of people think, and they're trying to tell other people how to think, more importantly.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to win the battle of ideas, and their idea is stupid, so they'll lose.
Those people.
They'll lose it for us. There I did it. I did it again.
I agree. I mean, talk about collectivist. I mean, this is trying to influence millions of people to have a knee-jerk, violent reaction against guns, to where anybody who owns a gun is a horrible person and must be stopped by whatever means necessary that the government wants.
Well, against gun owners, too. I mean, you can't really have a violent reaction against guns. I know that's what you meant, but I want to clarify for the listeners, because
don't we call gun owners guns? Hey, what's up, gun? What's up, my young, strong, proud gun?
Yeah. My young gun. Yeah. But hey, the people you want to have cops SWAT and take their guns away, They're just like regular dudes. They're dudes who install your cable and deliver your pizzas and talk on your radio.
You sound like Fight Club.
You know, they really are, though. You know, and it's chicks, too. It's not just crazy mall ninjas who are dudes who go out and have a hobby about collecting as many AR-15s as they can. It's girls with little 380s in their purse who walk home from their job at night downtown. Yeah. And need that extra little bit of protection, or want it. Who cares about needing it? They want
it. I mean, that's an argument against gun grabbing that I just have never heard a good answer for. Of, you know, because most people who are gun grabbers, well, I don't know if I can say most, but, you know, okay, those people, let's collectivize them. No, I'd say, I'll bet you if you took a poll, most people that are in favor of taking away guns are in favor of it. At least equal rights for women, if not more rights for women than men. And, you know, how do those people feel? How do you, what if you say to them, you know, so do you think women should be open to being raped when they walk home from the store as single mothers when they're supporting their kid and they have to work and they don't have a man around and they can't afford a taxi when they have to walk home through the hood to go take care of their kids and pick them up from the neighbor lady she pays a little money to take care of them? I mean, what is their answer? I guess their answer is the state has to steal more money and provide bodyguards for those women, or provide shuttles for them, or something unworkable, you know, for every woman in the country 24/7, and probably to put a cop on every corner. But that still wouldn't stop all crime, you know. What do you do about the woman who is living with the abusive husband? You know, why doesn't she get to have a gun? Oh, because the man will use it on her. I don't know. I just don't know what you say. I mean, I guess I wrote a song called Gun Control Gets Women Raped, and that pretty much sums it up right there. But I don't talk to those people, so I don't know what they'd say. What do you think they'd say?
Well, there's a big lie of omission, too, that goes on in the mainstream media that I got to see firsthand. But whenever there's crime statistics, one of the packages that our news director in Washington loved and wanted us to do more stuff like this was doing this crime tracker. You know, that was one of our on-brand things, was the crime tracker. And to do a crime tracker. And then
dun, dun, dun.
There was a girl who had this idea that actually worked really well within the on-brand and crime tracker system, was comparing the stats of crime in different areas with the amount of street lights that they had in those areas. And it became a story of, oh, well, we need to get street lights out on every corner because that'll solve the problem. You know, there was stuff about neighborhood watch, stuff, more cops. You know, that was the other thing, was, hey, you know, we don't have that many cops per capita. What's wrong? Why is it taking the city council so long to hire new cops? And that was a recurring story that they could do every year, and that the news director wanted to have happen occasionally, is, hey, have somebody look into the number of cops, put a fire under those cops' butts, make them hire more people. We need more people out on the street there. Yeah. So the solution was always, it was never, hey, this person's got a new gun training class for women. It was never, hey, look at this company, it's providing this low cost self defense weapon. You know, guns are getting cheaper, or at least this one is. There's this new one on the market. It was never that. It was never about personal responsibility or accepting anything like that. It was always about, what can this state do to make us more safe using your tax dollars, like street lights, you know?
I saw a really great one tonight. It's a takeoff on Obama's "If I Had a Son, He'd Look Like Trayvon." It was Obama and a picture of, like, it said, "If I had a city, it would look like Detroit." It showed some building with a bunch of broken windows.
Yeah, and that's the point, right? Okay, so if the state does more to protect and serve or whatever it is, dun, 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 it does end up looking like Detroit. Look at the areas that are most government controlled, and I will steal Stefan Molyneux's word again here. The GMEs, the government manufactured environments. Look at Indian reservations. Look at projects, inner city projects. Look at Detroit. Look at Washington, D.C., the urban area itself. Look at all those areas that are so government controlled, and do they look safe to you?
No.
Does it look like your mom or your sister, you'd be safe, you'd feel great about them walking home without any protection at night? No, not at all, man. So why then does that become the discourse in the media is to get more state involvement to protect those women? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Was that feisty rant number one?
I hope it was number something.
All right. Keep going, man. Keep going.
What are you doing, man? You're stealing time from the fiends.
And see,
Michael, I can hear you. So when you leave the mic and let me do stuff and talk, you should press the pad button because it sounds like I'm talking to you while you're coloring in a coloring book. What are you doing over there?
Are you really? I'm crossing the day out because I've given a great day.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in case you didn't know, fiends, that's a Michael idiosyncrasy. A phenosyncrasy is Michael keeps calendars and he's really obsessed with them. And he will sit there and not only just put an X or a line through the day, he will spend this amount of time. You hear him right now?
Black.
This amount is the amount of time he will spend on completely blacking out the day.
Yeah, because I gave a good day, man. I gave such a good day. Yeah. I'm not done, but, you know, it's. I usually do it around when DJ goes to bed.
Speaking of black, continuing on the trend of Netflix creating their own original content and hopefully replacing the cable industry one day, have you heard or seen the new show? It's called Orange is the New Black.
No.
Have you heard about it?
What is it? Oh, it's about prison, about prison?
It's about prison, but there's some interesting twists. Some of them are kind of cliche jokes, but it's done really well. It's a white-collar lady, and 10 years ago, she was in a lesbian love fest with the girl who used to be on That 70s Show, the redhead. And the lesbian from That 70s Show, I don't know if she's really a lesbian, but in the show she's a lesbian.
No, but she's a Scientologist. She's not a lesbian, and she is a Scientologist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in Orange is the New Black, she's a lesbian drug lord. And she has the little white girl main character go to, like, Belgium with her or someplace in Europe and do some money laundering. She has her go pick up a suitcase of, like, $50,000 from an airport. And then 10 years later, when the drug lord gets caught, she points her finger at the little white-collar blonde girl and says, oh, she was part of the drug ring. And so they put her in jail. They give her only a year because I guess it was a white-collar thing. But there's really some notes of, hey, the system's broken. Jail is stupid. Look at this person. She did this stupid thing 10 years ago when she was a kid that didn't hurt anybody. And now she's got to be in this horrible hellhole of a cage that is prison. And that's pretty much the gist I got from the first episode.
Yeah.
And even the workers, the employees in prison, some of them know it. Like the counselor sitting there talking to her, and he's like, 10 years ago, what's the statute of limitations on that? And the little white girl looks at him. She goes, 12 years. Uh-huh. And he goes, ah, that sucks.
Yeah.
So it's also really interesting. Have there been prison shows about girl prisons before?
I don't know if I've ever
seen one.
There's only reality type shows. There's a cops like inside prison on Court TV about girls in various prisons. You know, they always pick the like crazy lesbian one who's doing all of them and focus on her.
Well, bonus points for this one on Netflix. There's lots of lesbian nudity in a good way. So I don't know if they're just really trying to get that extra audience member or what. But
I was not saying she's crazy for being a lesbian. I was saying the crazy, lesbian one. You know, the wild and crazy girl who's probably not even a lesbian when she's not in prison, but she's just kind of like, yeah, I'm a good time party girl. You know, the one that's in there for meth, basically. So, yeah.
But yeah, it's good to see that because hey, Netflix, that's mainstream, man, and they're making their own shows. And what are their shows so far? I mean, I guess Arrested Development, there's not really any libertarian angles to that, but there certainly seems to be some tones of that in House of Cards. I mean, I only watched 3 episodes, but from what you say, it just makes the business I wouldn't call it a business, but the actions of the government, the legislators, those folks look horrible. Like they're just sleazy people out to get over on others and seize power and do horrible, mean things to everybody else. And then this one, Orange is the New Black, which seems to be like a big motif is going to be how stupid the prison system is, how it hurts people for no reason, and how a lot of the people in there there's no good reason why they should be in there.
Hey, if anyone's got $900,000, Ben Swan's Kickstarter has 47 hours to go, and he's raised $259,000 of his $1.25 million goal. So if you got $900,000, go help him out. I like him a lot. I'm just teasing him for putting such a high bounty on himself that he's not going to get any of that. But a lot of people have written him and said, hey, if you don't meet this, I'll send it to you on PayPal or something. So, but not all of them.
Well, when we interviewed him, he said that. He said this was kind of a way of testing the waters and seeing what their market would be for this type of thing. And I guess they got their answer, which is – it's still a lot. I mean – $250,000. That's
and it's interesting because he did a Kickstarter about 3 months ago that had the same money amount of goal, and he only raised about $5,000 instead of $259,000. And I don't think he's become exponentially more popular in the last 3 months. I don't know what the difference is. Maybe he got a better PR guy or something.
You don't think it is? I think he's been doing a lot more press. He's been doing a lot more press. He's been on every libertarian show out there.
If you want to do it from a percentage, he went from 5,000 to he went 25 times 5, like 50 times. He's not 50 times as popular as he was 3 months ago. If money equals popularity in this, I think he just found a way to get. I don't know, man. He rode some wave. It's good.
Well, did his new Kickstarter explain the project better, maybe? Because we had pointed out a problem with somebody else's Kickstarter. Maybe. I don't remember. I don't even remember it. I wasn't aware of it.
It explains it very well, actually. The old one – let me see if I can look at the old one. It's hard to – I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Well – I guess the thing is, like he told us, he's still going to go forward with the project. He's just going to change it. And I guess if a lot of people are saying, they'll send him the money anyway.
I'm looking at the old one. Oh, wait. This is the new one. How does this work? I don't know what Kickstarter is. I don't know how to navigate it.
Well, suffice it to say, we wish Mr. Swan the best.
And, here's your answer. I got your answer. His old project raised $4,800, and it does not explain it as well. It's not nearly as long, and it doesn't have nearly as many pictures and graphs. So I guess
it also not have proofs of concept? Because that's the other thing, is he has episodes already of called Full Disclosure. He's got episodes already, so he's showing you this is
there
what
you
I
go.
Can do.
That's it too. Yep. So I guess if you want to make 50 times as much money on Kickstarter, spend a little more time planning it and offer a proof of concept, and read really carefully on they have really strict rules on proof of concept. Like, one thing is you cannot use computer animations to show how a machine will work because they think it tricks people. But you could definitely have a video of an episode of something you want to do on a larger scale, like he did, So yeah, right, I think planning is really important with Kickstarter. I think feisty kind of rambling rant number two is
ramble.
Yeah, and that's feisty ramble number one. All right, I think it's time to call it a night. And
okay.
Unless you got any closing arguments here, man, or feisty words.
No closing arguments, no feisty words, but I do have a slightly funny kicker.
Yeah.
So my landlord came over the other day and he brought his daughter, and she's like 10-year-old girl. She was super cute, but when she first came in, part of the reason the landlord was coming in was to meet the pets, because we have two pets that we've declared. And so he met the pets, and I showed the little girl the pets and said their names. And then about 30 minutes later, because I actually explained audio. I gave my landlord audio advice because he's been shooting YouTube videos. So I showed him how to EQ and explained compression and microphones to him. I figured that would gain me some goodwill. So after all that, I come out, and the little girl says, she looks at the animals and she goes, "What are these?" And I look at her and I go, "They're called pets."
Really?
They're called pets. That one's Yukon and that one's Timmy. It was really passive aggressive. I kind of don't know why I said it, but I said, "They're called pets." And she looks at me and she passive aggressive back. She looks at me and she gives me this look and she goes, "Sorry, I meant what breed are they?" I'm like, wow, feisty 10-year-old there.
Yeah.
So well, that you were that's in Alaska.
You were assuming she was from another planet or stupid.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's a vague question. What are they? Is.
And
they're pets. So what else would they be?
I'm very into stressing clear communication, and I get really frustrated when people don't have clear communication. One of my pet peeves, and this came up recently, and this has been going on for like as long as I've been podcasting in 2006, and like back to probably when I started making films in like 2001. So it's been going on for, you know, over a decade. People write to me, send me emails and say, I want to do an interview with you. And they do not tell me whether they want to interview me on their show or they want to be interviewed on my show. 99 out of 100 times, they don't make it clear. It's really annoying.
Right. Because that phrasing, I would like to do an interview with you, it doesn't make clear who will be the interviewer and who will be the interviewee. So the proper way is, I would like to interview you if you would like Michael on your show. And if you want to be on our show, then wait for us to contact you.
Yeah.
Or say, I would really like to be on the – you know, if you were going to do it, you'd say, I would really like to be an interview guest on your show.
Yeah. I generally don't like it when people contact me and want to be interviewed by me. I figure if there's someone I want to interview, I'll contact them because we're not an interview show. You know, if we were an interview show.
We would, are, though, now, man. I'm trying not to be. Have you seen our last month?
I'm trying not to be, man.
I like the one interview a week kind of thing. You know, one show, you know, 1 hour. It's actually only a fourth of our weekend that we interview.
I guess
Larkin was kind of different because he was kind of the third fiend that day. But
yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we also kind of like, if the person has a cell phone and not Skype with a good mic, I'm going to limit it to a half hour, unless it's like, you know, a Murray Rothbard from Beyond the Grave or something. But yeah,
it's a Murray Rothbard.
The amount of time we'll keep you on if we're interviewing you depends on three things, and none of them really are how famous you are. It's basically how good your audio is. How good of a talker you are, and I think that's pretty much it, actually. And what you have to say, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So those are the tips. Although, sometimes we do interviews because somebody else said, hey, you should interview such and such. And then we look into it, and we're like, oh, yeah, you're totally right. Like with the Ben Swan thing, I don't know why we didn't think to interview him before. It would have been perfect. It was a great interview. It was perfect for the Fiends. And, you know, I knew who Ben Swan was. I knew what he did, and I thought he was great. But until somebody on my Facebook said, you should interview Ben Swan. He's doing interviews. Here's his contact info, or here's the contact info for his guy. And we're like, oh, yeah, totally. Let's do that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
And then we did. And the rest is Fiendstry.
Fiendstry.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. I think that's it, man.
All right.
I think that's it.
Good night.
We'll be in good night and good luck, worms.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy, me, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me, and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission, and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.